morning, everyone. How lovely to see you. We are able to meet together to worship the living God. We thank you that He's promised to be with His people, and we have an opportunity to worship Him together. I'm going to read Psalm 95 as a great psalm, a psalm which shows us the privilege which we have together as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. God was very gracious. God continued to be gracious and continued to be kind. As you look at the psalm, He asks us to do two or three things. One is to sing and make a joyful noise. Well, could I encourage you to do that this morning? Sing and make a joyful noise, and come into His presence. It's good to see each other and good to meet each other, but primarily we're coming into the presence of God. God who's alive, and God, He says, who made us, and we are to come down with thanksgiving. Oh, from the very bottom of our hearts, what God has done for us, that we are to be thankful people. And in verse 6, He says, we are to bow down and worship Him. What a great God we have. We're going to sing that psalm in our next hymn, some number 11 in the supplement. Come, let us praise the Lord, and with joy our God acclaim. His greatness tell abroad, and bless His saving name. Lift high your song before His throne, to whom alone all praise belongs.
Thank you.
let us come into his presence. Let's all pray together. Our gracious God, we have this great privilege to be able to come to you. We thank you that you are the creator of the universe. You're the one who made it. And beyond any human comprehension, no one can fathom all the depths and the widths of the universe you have made. We are amazed how wonderful the universe is. But we realize that something which you have made, but you are even greater, more wonderful than anything we can observe upon this earth. You're God who has miraculous powers. You're God who is almighty God with all the strength. You're God who knows all about us. You know us are going out and coming in. You know the very thoughts and very words we speak. You are fully aware of that. So, Lord, we thank you for being such a wonderful God. We thank you that the Lord is our righteousness this morning. That as we come to you, we realize that we are people of sin. But we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has become our righteousness. That we come through him, that as we come to you, you do not see as our sinful humanity, our sinful action. You see the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hence we are able to come into your holy presence. Lord, help us to realize that you are such a God, then help us to realize what a privilege we have of being able to worship you. And so, Lord, we ask that as your word says that we are not to be like the people in the past, people who wandered 40 years in the desert because they would not listen or obey your voice. Our God, we pray this morning, we might be people who are obedient, people who will listen, people who will follow your teaching. We ask that you will speak to us this morning. We very much need you. We are completely and entirely dependent on you. We ask that you will make yourself known to us. So, Lord, we commit each other to you. We ask you help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask it in and through the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read the passage of Scripture. If you've got a Bible, please turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. And we're going to be reading the second half of the chapter, that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, we'll see, is coming again. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to the end of the chapter. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. May the Lord add his blessing to the teaching of his word. Well, let me give you another warm welcome. It's really good to see you, those who are here with us in the building this morning. And again, a welcome to you, to those who are listening to us online as well. Pray that God indeed will speak to you as we worship Him together. Our service in the evening is going to be taken by Mark Stringer, he's been going through the fruit of the Spirit by working backwards. So I'm looking forward to my coming, and hope you are too, that God indeed will continue to use him as he brings God's message to us this afternoon at 5:30. And following the afternoon service, we have an annual elders question time, and opportunity had been given to those in the building, and they've been able to submit questions, and as elders we'll be able to meet together. So that'll take following the afternoon service. That'll be around about 6:30, and could I mention it's one of the great privileges of being a member of the church that we are able to bring together these things. So 6:30. Then Ladies Fellowship on Tuesday. Please come and learn from God's word, pray together, and encourage one another with these things. Wednesday we have shed meeting. Men are meeting together, and they're meeting at Victor's home in Hinckley. So it's a visit to Hinckley Motorcycle Museum. So if you're coming, and please let Trevor know, and if you need a lift, and let him know as well, please. That's on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we have our midweek meeting, but it's a bit different sort of midweek meeting. We have Christian Institute coming to us, and they're talking to us about the Sure Foundation. So the time and the location doesn't change. So that's at 7:45 on Thursday. But number of local churches have been circulated with the information. So you might find people coming from different churches, or we're hoping they are. And so it'll be a great opportunity for us to have fellowship with believers from other churches as well. So that's on Thursday at 7:45. Then Friday, children's work, 6:30 at Kids Club, and 7:30 at Youth Club. Then speaker for next week and Sunday morning, John Eardley will be bringing God's word to us in the morning, and Dalton King in the afternoon as well. So do please pray for that. One or two other things to remind you, men. Men's Italian evening. That's taking place on the 22nd of November. And if you are coming, and also if you bring somebody with you, and you have a choice on the menu, could you put your choices on the notice board as you go out? And if you're listening to online, and you're not in the building, have a word with James. Please, James Harrison, give him a ring, and or email him with your food choices. So that's on 22nd of November. So do pray for that. Do also pray for Senior Citizen Tea. That's taking place on the 12th of November at 3:30. Again, these flyers are available. Use them to invite other senior citizens to the meeting as well. Could I also mention the we got beginning of a new month, and Pilgrim Bible Notes are also around, and please take a copy, or any other Bible notes you use, please take a copy as you use these for your spiritual time and time together. So we got quite a few things happening. Final one. Saturday the 26th of November, it says cake. Saturday 26th of November, and it's a ladies' event, women to women, and an interview with Elizabeth Flanagan. So please take one, ladies, invite other ladies to it, and good gospel opportunities. That's on the 26th of November. So lot of things happening, but events are just events unless the Lord's with us and unless he works through them. So we need to bring all these things before the Lord. Before I do forget, though, following the morning service, those who are helping with refreshments from next week onward, those who volunteered, could they meet together after the morning service in the kitchen, please, so you know where everything is. Let's all come to God in prayer. Our loving Father, we thank you that you are sovereign God and you are in control of all that's what's happened. We thank you that you're also God who delights to meet with his people when they meet together to worship and also when they share the gospel with others. And we pray, first of all, of your continuing presence with us here and also other places. We pray for John Eardley as he is at Hinckley. We ask that you will be with him. We ask that he might know your presence there. We pray again that you be with us as we proclaim the gospel here at Little Hill. And we pray for the children's work, and we thank you for the children coming to Kids Club and also to the Youth Club. We pray, Lord, that as they hear the message, that it might really sink into their hearts and minds, that they might have that full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also pray again for those who are speaking in the streets, the good news of the Jesus. We ask that you be with them, grant them authority, grant them that unction from above, that they may be able to speak boldly about the things of God. We pray also for your protection for them, and we ask that there might not be disruptions. We pray they might be kept safe and they might continue to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the freedom which we have of being able to proclaim your word. We pray for the events coming up. We pray, Lord, for the men's Italian evening, and pray for the ladies' woman-to-woman event. And we ask that all these may be used for your glory, together with the senior citizens coming together here for tea. And we ask that in all these things, Christ may be clearly made known. We ask that he might be uplifted and exalted among us. We pray again, Lord, that you be with us and also in our own homes. We pray for those who are not well, and we ask that you will have your hand upon them. Grant your healing touch upon their lives, and we pray they might be restored. We pray also, Lord, for those who are bereaved. We pray for those who are somebody lost and gone. We pray that you'll help them and comfort them and support them. We pray for the funeral service tomorrow, and we ask that you will have your hand upon your people there. So, Lord, we ask that you be with us and build us up in our faith. Encourage us in the things of God. And we pray that we might be people you intend us to be. So we ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. James.
Would the boys and girls like to come to the front, please? Have you ever wondered, I am on, aren't I? Can you hear me? Yeah. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be king or queen? What would you do? Would you have cake for breakfast or ice cream or chocolate? Maybe you could choose your own bedtime. Go to bed whenever you wanted. Or maybe you wouldn't live in an ordinary castle. Maybe you'd live in a bouncy castle. That would be fun, wouldn't it? What would you do? Would you be a good king? Would you be a bad king? You'd be good, that's good. You know, the Bible tells us about some kings that lived in the land of Judah. We're told that God's people were split between the northern kingdom of Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. And we're going to find out about some kings today in the Bible. The Bible tells us that good kings were kings that followed God. So that made the bad kings were the kings that didn't follow God. Yeah, fairly simple. Good kings followed God, bad kings didn't follow God. So you're going to help me this morning. We're going to listen to about some kings, four different kings, and at the end you're going to tell me if they were a good king or a bad king, and maybe the grown-ups can help us with this as well, see if they're paying attention. Okay? First king was a man with a very funny name. Okay, Rehoboam. Can you say that? Rehoboam. What a funny name. His father was a man called Solomon, a very good king, his father was. And a lot of his father's friends were in the kingdom, and they were waiting, ready to help Rehoboam. But Rehoboam, he didn't listen to his father's friends, who were very wise and helpful. He decided he was going to listen to his own friends. Do you think that was a good idea? Oh dear, no, it wasn't a good idea. Not a very good start. He didn't make a very good start. And he was very harsh on the people around him. And they said, "You're being too harsh on us." He said, "You know, my father was harsh, and I'm going to be even harsher." Was that a good thing? Oh dear. Rehoboam, what are you doing? And he said, "You know what? I'm not going to follow God. I'm going to abandon God and go my own way." And God said to him, "Because you've done this, I'm going to abandon you." And the king of Egypt came into the land, and he took all the gold from God's temple, and he took gold from the king's house. Lots and lots of mistakes were made, and he took over the kingdom and the city of Jerusalem, the capital. And Rehoboam had to turn to God and humble himself so that God wouldn't destroy him. Good king or bad king? Who thinks he was a good king? Who thinks he was a bad king? Let's vote now. Good king or bad king? Show me. Oh, lots of people have their thumbs down. Look at the adults. See what they're showing as well. Mum and dad. Bad king, right. Can somebody come up and give him a big cross in his box? Go on. Oh, dear. Not a good start. Not a very good start at all. Thank you. Well, he wasn't the only king, because after him came a man called Abijah, his son. Not Elijah, Abijah. Can you say that? Abijah. And sometimes it's Abijah if we're getting technical for the adults. Abijah. We're told not very much about Abijah. We are told that one time, Abijah was in a battle, and there were bad guys this way in front of him and the baddies behind him. And he was trapped in this battle. And he did a very good thing in that he called out to God in prayer, and God rescued him and gave him victory. So that was one good thing about Abijah. But you know, sadly, the rest of what the Bible says about him is not very good. And we're told he didn't follow God in his heart. So just like his father, do we think he's a good king or a bad king? Vote now. I'm looking at the grown-ups too. Thank you. A bad king. Of course he was a bad king. Okay, you come up and you put a big cross in his box. Oh no, it's not looking very good so far. Two bad kings. Surely there's got to be a good king coming soon. Well, after him came his son, and his son's name was Asa. Okay, we're told quite a lot about Acer. We're told, can you say that? Acer. And some of you were trying, well done. Acer. Acer, we're told quite a lot about him. We're told the first thing he did when he was king is he got rid of all the idols in the land because people were deciding they were going to worship false gods and not the one true God. So that was a really good thing to start off his kingship. And we're told lots of other things, that God gave him peace, that God gave him wealth and riches and allowed him to build, and God gave him victory over his enemies. And we're told that Asa also made everybody make a promise to God that they were going to serve him, something called a covenant that was very special. And so he got all the people serving God. And he did a very tricky thing as well, because his mum was queen, but she decided that she was going to worship idols. And so he told his own mum that she couldn't be queen anymore. Imagine telling your mum that she couldn't be queen if you were king. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? But that's what he did because he wanted to put God first. We are told he made some mistakes. He wasn't perfect. He trusted on those nations around him to help him in his battles when he should have put God first and trusted in God. And then when he got older, he got a horrible disease in his feet. And instead of trusting in God to heal him and look after him, he trusted his doctors more. But the main thing about Asa is he did want to follow God, and most of his life he was seeking after God. Okay, vote now. Good king or bad king? What do we think from what we've heard? Oh, you're not sure, you're in the middle. He was a good king, of course, because he followed God. Excellent. Can you give him a tick there? That's a big relief for me now. Phew. Finally, a good king after those two bad kings. That's right, that's fine. We can see it, can't we? Last king was a man called Jehoshaphat, Asa's son. There we go. King Jehoshaphat. Can you say that? Jehoshaphat. That's probably one of the hardest ones to say. Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was like his dad, Asa. He decided to get rid of all the idols that people were still worshipping in the land. So that was a very good thing that he did. And he also decided that people needed to know God's law. People needed to trust in God. And so he got the priests and the Levites, important people in the land, and the officials together to teach all the people from the law of God, which was like the Bible, so that they knew about God and about serving him. A very good choice. He did make a mistake, a bit like his dad made mistakes, and he made friends with one of God's enemies, a wicked king called Ahab. So that was a bad choice, but God told him where he was wrong, and he was sorry about those things. And he put his trust in God. Okay, vote. Good king or bad king? What do we think? Jehoshaphat was a good king. Well done. Last one. Who's not had a go? No, there's a few that haven't. Okay, come on then. Let's give him a big tick there if we can in that box. Great. So, let's recap. Rehoboam was a bad king because he didn't put God first and serve him. Abijah was a bad king because he also didn't follow God. Asa was a good king. He followed God. Even though he made some mistakes, he was still wanting to serve God. And Jehoshaphat was a good king because he followed God. Even though he made a mistake, he still put God first in his kingship. We're going to sing about another king now, and it's the king I want you to know is King Jesus, because he's the king over not just the animal kingdom, which we're going to sing about, but over all the kings and queens on the earth. And he's the king that we need to trust and follow. Okay, follow the actions as well. Okay.
Thank you. Well, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of all. And that's our God. So let's pray for the children. Let's go. We thank you, Lord, that you are good and gracious to us. Thank you that you've given to us children and grandchildren. And we thank you for the privilege we have of being able to bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. We do pray for the parents, and we ask you to be with them, strengthen them as they bring them up. And we also pray for those who work today and every Sunday in teaching children the things of God. Pray for those who work on Fridays to bring the message of hope and to the children as well. So we thank you for giving us the children. Thank you for parents who are believers, and thank you that you help them to bring the children up in your knowledge. So Lord, we commit that to you. We pray for ourselves, and you help us to understand your word, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn, which is number 3 in this supplement. So, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. So, you know, different parts are played, sung by different people, men and women separately. God's word again from 1 Thessalonians, and this time is chapter 5. Beginning at verse 1. Now concerning the times and the season, brothers, you have no need. need to have anything written to you. For yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Then going on to verse 12 of the same chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that nobody pays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good and to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks to all in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. And I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What a wonderful passage we have from God's Word, 1 Thessalonians. The thing I really want to concentrate is on verse 12 to 14 of chapter 5, and we shall read that a bit later on. But put things in context, and as you know, that during the month of October, as a church, we've been reading through the Acts of the Apostles. And we had a fellowship group meeting last Thursday on it. And you remember that Paul and Silas had been in prison in Philippi. And when they were released, they traveled to Thessalonica. And stay there, Paul says, Luke says, for three Sabbaths. You find that in Acts chapter 17. And Paul, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue, he went and preached the gospel. He went and preached about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And as the one who came, the one who died, the one who was raised again, Paul was quite adamant about what he taught. And as a result of that, some people came to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the church as Thessalonica was established. But as the gospel is preached and people respond, there's also an opposition, isn't it? So there was a great opposition. And there was a great big opposition to Paul and Silas. And they were actually had to leave. They were thrown out of Thessalonica. But although they went, and they went to Athens, then they went to Corinth, but although they went, the gospel remained in Thessalonica, and the church grew, and the church was fully established. And as they went and preached the gospel in different places, more and more people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But while Paul was and Silas were in Corinth, they heard about what was happening in Thessalonica. There was a big dispute regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was going to come, what shape, when was he going to come. Well, Paul really wanted to put things in perspective. He wanted to put things right so they fully understand the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted them to know there would be no doubt regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, we read that what was going to happen. Let me read that to you again. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these things. So that he talks about that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, it will be a personal return. He will come himself. He won't just send the angel. He won't just send other things. But the Lord Jesus himself, who went up to heaven, who was ascended into heaven, will himself come himself down on earth. It'll be a personal return. You know, it also talks about being a processional return. And there's a strict order we are given in those verses that how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. There's going to be a cry of command, which is the first mark of that great majestic return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the voice of archangel will speak, and no one will be any doubt whether the Lord Jesus Christ has come second time or not. You remember the first time? People did not know that far away in Bethlehem, a baby had been born, and people did not know. Even the local community did not know. But when he comes again, there will be no one upon earth who would not know whether he has come upon the earth or not. So it'll be a processional return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed will be a powerful return. And we say that those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together. Won't that be wonderful? The dead in Christ will be raised, and we shall and will be with him. And we, those who are alive at that moment, will also be taken up and will meet him in the air. What a wonderful promise. So Paul wants the Thessalonians to fully understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And he tells us in chapter 5 at the beginning that he's coming, but we are that the timing is not shown. We don't know when he will come. People will carry on living. People carry on doing the things they normally do. But the Lord will come suddenly. Do you know what he says? When you learn all these things, he says, encourage one another with these words. Look at verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So anybody need encouraging? Anybody need help? Anybody need building up words of encouragement? Here it is. The word of God tells, these are the words of encouragement for you and me this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And those who are alive will be with him. And it's a great promise, isn't it? Let's all, when we talk with each other, when we share things later on, all during the week, encourage each other. Don't worry, the Lord is coming. We don't know when, but he's definitely coming. The time is getting shorter every day we live upon this earth. It's getting nearer. And there is a strange word, but not strange words really in the scriptures. The word brothers used several times in the passage which we read, for instance, in chapter 4 and verse 12. And the same word is used also in chapter 5, verse 25, 26 and 27. And it talks about being brothers together. It occurs four times. And And we are brothers because God is our Father. We are His children. And we need to be encouraging also and accepting the fact that we are brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God is our Father and that He is the Triune God. Well, thing I ask myself that we know the Lord's coming, God's promise, and He will keep His promise. What do I do in the meantime? What do we do while now and before the Lord Jesus Christ come upon earth? How do we live upon this earth? And how do we behave ourselves? And what do we do? And I mean, one of the things you might say, well, the Lord is coming, let's go and evangelize the world, because we have this great commission, have we not, from the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 28. Let me read to you 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the great commission which the Lord Jesus Christ gave to His disciples, and not only for those who were disciples at that time, it's a commission for you and for me to go out and make disciples of all nations. Are we fortunate that we have all nations coming to us? That we had international students, and there was international students event again, and gospel again was preached. The gospel is going out to all nations. That we are to preach and teach and bring that message of hope to everyone. The danger, you see, is that we know the Lord is coming, that you do nothing. Okay? For instance, when the Lord Jesus was ascended into heaven, what did the disciple do? They just looked into the sky and hoping something will happen. And we are told, He said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw Him going to heaven. Here's a promise, but we're not just looking into the sky, but going out and preaching and teaching and making disciples of all nations. But how about us as living as those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? How should we be spending our time as well as sharing the gospel, but what sort of people we ought to be? But that comes to us in chapter 5 and verse 12 to 14. And let me read those verses to you. And we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. So there are conclusion thoughts by the Apostle Paul to the disciples there. So the first thing he asked them to do, respect those who lead. Why? You ask it. Why do you want people to be respecting those who lead? And that's something which is lacking in our political life at the moment. But he's not talking about political life, he's talking about local believers. He said, because they are working hard, they are hard working. As we, as well as meeting all the requirements of Timothy and Titus, The leaders need to be hard-working. And I think that should be evident in everyone, whether it's a deacon, whether it's an elder, and we are not to be lazy in putting off things which we can do today, not putting it off till tomorrow or the next week and the week after, hoping that that will happen and that'll be the case. But that is not people who are actually at the forefront. And I think it talks about people who are leading by working hard in the life of a local church. So not just talk about elders and deacons. It might be people you're leading in children's work. You might be leading in the women's work. You might be leading in a senior citizen's work. People who are leading and are leaders in the life of the church. And we are to respect them because they work so hard. So it doesn't matter whether you hold an office in the life of the church or not. It is whether you're working hard for the Lord. And if you're working hard for the Lord, we are to respect and encourage those who are doing that. And we are also to be hard-working. We are also, all of us, involved in what I would call influencing people. You know, we have fellowship with one another. We are encourage one another. We are the body of Christ. And as we are working together, we influence each other. And we can influence badly, or we can influence in a very good way that we could encourage in the things of God. Paul, writing to 2 Corinthians, says that we are like a sweet-smelling flavor, fragrance, I think the word is used for that. Let me read to you verse 14 and 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us to triumphal procession, as through us spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? We are fragrance of God, fragrance of Christ, that when people get close to us, what do they see us? Do they see us people who closely following the Lord Jesus Christ and smelling, spreading their fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ? So whether you're working, hard working in the children's work, senior citizens, domestic work, whatever you do, you're doing it for the Lord. And by your action and by your hard work, that you are spreading that aroma of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what we do, it's how we do it, and do it for the glory of God. We are to respect those who do such things, and we are to be thrilled by them. And also, Paul talks about those who bear the responsibility for your spiritual growth. You're talking in that verse. And, you know, it's quite difficult as an elder, quite difficult and challenging, that how we can encourage the spiritual growth for individual person and also as a church. So we're not talking about numerical growth. We're talking about personal development, greater love for God, greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ, greater love for his people, greater love for word of God. How can we do that? We have the responsibility to do that. And it's quite difficult. How do we do that? And we want everybody to be molded in their lifestyle according to the word of God, according with the scriptures. And we can't do it for anybody else. It's something which you have to do it yourself. Am I following the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I reading the scriptures? Am I praying? Am I encouraging other believers in the saints of God? Am I supporting those who are weak? And am I supporting the work of the gospel as it goes out from here? God gave us all different gifts. And are we not thankful here at Little Hill that those gifts he gave to us? And all churches and all fellowship had these gifts. Paul says, and he gave us the apostles, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, and to be all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure and stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So we have God gave us different gifts, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all different gifts, particularly described to us in the passage in Romans. But we have also responsibility of equipping the saints for the work of ministry. So elders and deacons, they haven't got the capacity, they can't do it everything themselves. They need your help. They need the church to be working together and using your gifts and the talents which God has given you to serve him. And so we need to encourage people to do these things. So Paul's very keen that we have a church is going spiritually, that saints are being equipped and developed for the work of the ministry. And ministry outside, as well as ministering to each other. And think about what you are doing in the life of the church. Think of how you're serving. Think about what you can do, how you can be encouraging one another. Think about your involvement in the life of the church. So, do please think prayerfully your commitment to God and your service to God here at Little Hill Church. Thing which is, I found it quite difficult, was in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. He said, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. He's not talking about remember those people, your leaders who have great big theological knowledge, people who are there at every meeting as well. It's talking about consider the outcome of their way of life. In other words, check on their lifestyle, how they are living, what influence they're having on others. It is the outcome of their life that really counts. So it's as well as the leaders, and we're talking about those who are not leading in any way, it's the outcome of their life which counts. So, and that's what we need to consider before God. Am I basically like the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I behaving like the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I treating other people as the Lord Jesus himself would have treated? Am I respecting other people as the Lord Jesus Christ would have respected? How are we doing? And no one can do that for you. So we have influence on other people and bear their responsibility. Then it talks about being peacemaker and not troublemakers. Have you noticed that in that verse, this instruction for us all? In many churches, there can be quarreling amongst the believers, and there can be division and fallouts. And we're so blessed for the unity of which we have here at Little Hill. And we're thankful to God what we have. But we are to be careful. We are to be watchful that we are to be peacemakers and not troublemakers in the life of the church as we live together. And godliness in character does really matter. And it's important for us. And Paul says to Timothy, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrel. Be not to be quarrelsome. And instead, he says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Isn't that an instruction for us? So while we wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be like this. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying to us this morning. God's word is saying to us this morning that we are to be peaceful, but we are also not be idling, but helping. Have you noticed that in that verse? And Paul is instructing the church members not to be time wasters or idle. There should not be any among us who have nothing to do, and we all have served one another. There are ample opportunities in the life of the church here. Various practical tasks such as stewarding, cleaning, helping the kitchen, building, maintenance, or directly involved with evangelism and building people up, one-to-one Bible studies, working among the seniors, working among the children, working among God's people, and proclaiming the gospel. There are opportunities for us all to serve the Lord in many ways. And we are not to be idle, but we are also to be helping. We are to helping in a way that he says, encourage the timid. There are timid among us. People who find it hard, we find it difficult to talk and difficult to converse. Often timid person realize a big task ahead and they don't have much energy for it. And here we can, as believers in Christ, encourage one another. Encourage the timid. Come alongside, help them and encourage them. Help the weak. Help the weak. We all have weaknesses in many ways in different areas of our life. And people who perhaps have illnesses and serious illnesses, and we need to help those who are struggling with health and encourage those so they're able to cope better. And times like this, Paul said, get alongside them. Okay, don't preach them, don't tell them off, but get alongside it. The word is used similar to that one, the work of the Holy Spirit, who come alongside us. Okay, so we as believers are to be doing that work of encouragement, getting alongside in that way. So are we doing this? And we are to be patient. That says in here, we are to be patient with everyone. And I think a lot of you need to be patient with me. So there are some of us a bit slower than others. But there's a society we are getting more and more impatient. And Paul says to every one of us, be patient. Give us time to do things with each other. We are not to be impatient, and pray for those who are struggling and those who are making slow progress. And as well as that, he said, don't retaliate, but do good. Do good. The world standard of behavior is continue to be eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. They hold these things in their minds and they get their own back when the right time comes. We are not to be like that as Christian believers. We are not to retaliate, but do good. Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So we are to be very different from the standard of the world. So, brothers and sisters, as we conclude, where are we? What are we doing? The Lord Jesus got taken into heaven. We know he's coming again. We have a big task to evangelize the world, to fulfill that commission which God has given to us as a church. We are also to be involved in living a life which is pleasing to God, holy and righteous, and in a very practical way, Paul outlined for us in 1 Thessalonians 5. May God help us to do that. We're going to sing, and this time is from Christian hymns, and is 762, Teach Me Thy Way. O Lord, teach me thy way, thy gracious aid afford, teach me thy way. Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, he will surely do it. Amen.